Are you looking for freedom? Freedom from the daily grind and hustle? Or just finding a way to live the life you always wanted? Then join us on the Investing for Freedom podcast. Our host, Mike Ayala, will help you discover new ways to find freedom with tips, insights, and interviews. You'll learn the exact systems he's used to travel the world and live his best life. True success and happiness are all about freedom. And here's your roadmap on how to find freedom on your own terms. Welcome to the Investing for Freedom podcast. Here's your host, Mike Ayala.
Thank you for joining me on the Investing for Freedom podcast. Today, I've got Mrs. Kara Ayala on the show, and we're going to be discussing the societal cost of the marriage decline. This is an interesting article, and I don't know if you've looked around, but you can see it everywhere. People are not getting married. People are not as interested in being married. The rate of, you know, people having children is decreasing. And we've actually been discussing this a lot over on the King's Table podcast. By the way, if you're not listening to the King's Table podcast, head on over to YouTube, search King's Table, because this has been amazing. Or you can now find it on all of the podcast platforms. But I'm excited to kind of dig into this today with Kara. And, you know, Kara and I have been married for almost 25 years this year, and we've got young adult children. And honestly, I can say this, you know, I always wanted to be married. I always wanted to have a great family. But looking backwards, this has been one of the most rewarding things. And what I'm seeing in this article is actually, you know, frankly, kind of disturbing for the future of our, you know, nation and just the fabric of what humanity is built on. So I'm excited to get into this. Kara, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I think, you know, I agree, like marriage has been such a blessing to us. And, but if you think about it, like, I would love to just like unpack why is that? Why do you think people are not wanting to get married today? Like, let's go from that standpoint first, because, you know, I talk to women all of the time that are my age and some of them older that haven't been married as well, which is kind of crazy. Or just don't want kids, right? Like they don't want a family. But I think as they get older in age, and you see men as well, older in age, I think people are going to regret that, because I think children bring so much, I mean, they bring so much joy. And I mean, we're not talking about children altogether, but usually when you get married, you have kids as well. But I think, you know, as we get older in age and start slowing down, who are we going to be spending that time with if we don't have a partner to spend life with? And I don't know. I have my opinions about this. I think a lot of it is what they saw from their parents and, you know, the way that people's relationships are and the way that marriage is portrayed and the way that marriage is not even just portrayed, but actually lived out is so different than what marriage was actually created for.
Yeah. I think that's probably, I think there's really two things. I mean, when you look at the example and, you know, how the nuclear family, in fact, when we were at Hobby Lobby, they were talking about this, like, really the breakdown of the nuclear family. And I think there's, you know, probably two generations that have gotten us here, but I think you're right that so many people are looking at, you know, how hard their parents worked. And, you know, how many times do you talk to people even today that you're like, you know what, they say I grew up in a good home, but I don't know if my parents actually loved each other. I didn't see affection. So I think it's partially a model problem. Like people are just like, man, I don't want to be stuck in this box, and they just don't know anything different. What's interesting is, like, you know, I don't think that most people that think about not getting married are thinking about having children either. And, you know, this has been a big problem in other countries, not to digress on this too much, but I think it's important that we kind of touch on, you know, where this takes us to as really a nation, because as birth rates decline in countries, it's really, you know, there's a lot of countries out there that their birth rates have declined. And really, if you just come back to like even Genesis, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Like how do you do that? You recreate. But I think you make such a good point. The reason why I think so many people don't want to get married is because they don't want to model or see something that they grew up in, whether it was a horrible scenario or whether it was just a, you know, a boring, non-loving, not engaged relationship.
Yeah, like just people living together for the sake of living together. As you were talking about, just, you know, be fruitful and multiply, that isn't just with kids too. Like men are designed to provide. This is just our makeups, whether you believe you're a male or a female or whatever that nonsense is out there right now. Men are designed to protect, provide, and co-create. And women are designed to influence, receive, and co-create. So there's like this co-creation that happens within marriage. And I think that hasn't been, I think it kind of has been limited to just like procreation, like having babies together. And that could be a little bit of the issue as well. If there's nothing intermixing between the two, they're not creating a life together. It's like he's doing his thing, she's doing her thing, rather than co-creating something together, creating a life that you both want and by design. And I think, you know, in the past, you know, maybe our parents and our parents' parents, probably even more, it was different, right? There was no co-creation probably in that there were, I'm not saying that there wasn't ever, there was definitely going to be outliers in that. But a lot of those relationships, it was like he was doing his thing. And I would say in our grandparents' day, like the woman was expected just to stay home, which there's nothing wrong with that. Like I'm a firm believer in being a stay-at-home mom. I was a stay-at-home mom. But I think there was a lack of the co-creation of what are we building together when we're building this life. And I think that that gets really dull and boring if you don't have something that you're excited about, or one of you is excited about something, but the other one's just kind of being strung along. I think that that could be really the breakdown in a marriage.
You know, it's so interesting. Like, I mean, we didn't pre-plan this, so it's a great, interesting conversation. But as you're talking through that, I'm just thinking backwards even to, you know, the last 30, 40 years and the amount of people that were raised in single parent households. And a lot of times that's the mother. And so when you really start like kind of breaking this down, like, and we've even discussed this, like in 2018, I was looking for, you know, how to build more strong male relationships, really, because, you know, we got married at a really early age and then building businesses and raising kids. And I found GoBundance, and it was like, but one of the conversations that we had was like, I was raised by a mom who was a very strong, you know, she was amazing. And I spent time with my grandma when I was little, because my dad was like absent. He was like a total disaster. And then, you know, you look, kind of look at that, just even thinking back to my story, and you look at how many men were raised by single women and don't have that male influence in their life. And unfortunately, a lot of times that turns into role reversal. And I'm not talking about gender reversal, but like really just even masculine feminine, when you're talking about like the male's place and the female's place, and there's this entire like attack on men and women and who are we? And I think there's just so much confusion in the world. But if you look back to that point that I was making, like so many men were raised by single moms and they're amazing, but they don't know how to be a man. And then you kind of look at that and it's like, there's so many men that don't know how to act the right way, and women. And then, you know, you kind of think about this, and why are so many marriages, then now we're talking about people that actually get married. Why are so many marriages like not functioning properly? Well, we don't know how to act in our roles the way that we're supposed to be. And then we can touch on this as we go through it, but like actually even learn to communicate and actually want to communicate and work through problems. And we live in a society today where, forget the marriage side of it, people are just so polarized, nobody's even having conversations. And I think this actually stems from the breakdown of the family unit, really.
Yeah, so going forward, how do we change that? Like, that's all I'm thinking of right now is, you know, that's happened, but now there's this breakdown. How do we change that? And I think that just even the viewpoint of what marriage is, I feel like we get asked all the time, like, how do you have a great marriage? And I've been thinking about this the last couple of days, just, I don't know. I mean, I do know. I know there's things that we do, there's practices that we do, but I don't think that marriage is meant to be hard. I don't think it should be something that you're like barely like making it through. Like, yet, will you go through tough times? Yes, but to me, I think marriage it enhances your life rather than detracts from it. So I don't know, maybe the conversation around what does that look like for us of like how we've, and even within the roles, you know, you talking about being raised by your mom and your grandma and them being really high influences, but your mom was having to step into that provider role at times and the protector role a lot of the times, especially when you were really young. protecting herself, protecting you guys, when really that is a man's role. And that doesn't mean that we as women, like, I want to be really clear on that, because if our role is to receive and to influence, you think about influence, like, we're meant to influence our home. We're meant to influence people around us, our communities. There's so much power in us, and we're meant to co-create. So it doesn't mean that we just sit at home and we do nothing. And I think that's the problem, is it's been told to women, sit at home.
Welcome to Marriage, Money, and Mayhem. Be in the kitchen. Today on the podcast, I have Mike.
I feel like there's a tidal wave of women jumping on, and back we're going into that, talking about marriage. Wait, who's this feminist that said we wanted to go and do all this today and do all this and stuff at home?
Just
right?
Have a conversation.
So you
around
see this
what
wave
means,
of women
why
being
we
like,
think it's happening.
Yes, I want to stay home.
How we can change
I want to make sourdough bread and bake and do all these things. But I think for so long it was like that was the only purpose. There was no uplifting of the woman inside of the marriage unit, of, you know, what the value that she brought to the marriage, to the vision of what is happening in the family unit. And I'm just speaking from a woman's perspective, because I see so much of women being oppressed over the years inside of that. And there's nothing, most women are natural nurturers anyways. So we want to be taking care of our family. Like, we want to be creating a space that's lovely in our homes, right? Like, that's the way that we're wired. But if that's our only role, if we're not meant to like speak into the businesses, speak into your careers, speak into the life we're building, then it kind of leaves us as, well, what's the purpose for us? And I think that's a big part of the breakdown, is women were like, no, we're creators as well, and we're going to go create. And in doing that, they started stepping into, and I'll provide, and I'll protect. And I feel like that has really stifled the relationship aspect. So then men become more passive. It's just like a vicious cycle of, and then, like you said, women are raising men, and that's what they see modeled.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like what you said earlier, like, what do you do about it? We were actually discussing this probably, I don't know, 10 weeks ago on the King's Table podcast. And, you know, I'm really a big fan and proponent of like, what can I influence? What can I impact? And I think the reality is, and this is the theme across the board, it doesn't matter if you're talking about marriage, relationships, money, anything else, like, you can only help people that like want to get help. And so even, you know, when we were talking about this a while back, or even to today, it's like, you can't change the whole world. Like, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that like we're called to change a country or the fabric of a society, but like, you know, for people that are listening, it's like, you know, where am I off base? And I love what you said about, you know, marriage, like, how do you have such a great marriage? And I've actually made this comment so many times. I'm like, well, Kara's really easy to be married to. And somebody actually said to me one day, well, you know, it's two ways. So Kara might be easy to be married to, but that probably means that you're easy to be married to too. And so like, are we just, you know, this special like marriage that happens once in, you know, 100 years? No, I don't think that's the case. I think it's just really narrowing it down to like what really matters at the end of the day. And what I love about this conversation is really just like leaning into, I guess, number one, making a decision. Cause if somebody's decided they don't want to be married, I'm not saying go get married. I'm not saying change the way that you think about it. But, you know, for me, I always wanted to have a good marriage and I want to be a good partner, and that takes work. But also, it's not really that much work. You just have to decide, like, what sword am I going to die on? Like, what battles really matter? Does, you know, am I going to argue about stupid stuff? And then I think, you know, for like individuals or couples that are listening, it's like, you don't have to change the whole world. You just have to tweak little things about the way you're thinking. And I love the way that you brought it back to like, I mean, at the end of the day, marriage shouldn't be hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about, you know, you just saying it shouldn't be hard and it's like little tweaks, all of those things, like, what are those? I would love to like dissect those with us, just because I think so many people think that marriage is hard and they're so set in their own ways that they're not open to see. And I think, you know, when we're first dating, you want to please that person, right? Like, you're courting them, you're wooing them. You're like, hey, you know, come over here and be with me. And I think a lot of times people get married and the stressors of life start coming in. So there's bills to be paid, there's money to be made, the house needs ordered, right? Like, then you add kids into that. And if you're a business owner, add business owners into that. And you kind of start almost resenting each other. And I have caught us in seasons of our lives where those things started to take over in our lives, where you're like, something becomes more important. And I think it's always coming back to, well, wait, why did we start this? And remembering why you fell in love with that person to begin with. And it's a continual reminding of, because we get to choose that. If I'm going to be resentful of you and I'm going to, you know, be mad at you for the way that you're acting, but I'm not going to express it, or I'm not going to ask for what I want, then I can't complain about it. And I can't, if I'm going to stay in the marriage and be miserable, that's on me, right? Like, I think taking responsibility for ourselves in our marriage is huge. Like, me being responsible for my happiness. Can you add joy to my life? Yes. But you are not responsible for my happiness. You can help me in the times where maybe I am feeling a little more down or need encouragement. And I think we both have been that for each other. But I think not relying on you to make me happy, to make me feel fulfilled, all of those things.
I love that. Like, you know, just kind of regurgitating what you just said. I mean, being responsible for our own work. And really, when you were talking about resentment, one of the things that I was thinking about is just communication. Because really, like, I was thinking as you were saying that, I was watching one of the episodes of The Chosen, and Peter's wife lost his baby, or their baby, not his baby, but their baby. And he had came back off the road. They were traveling. And when he came back, she was like being really weird to him. And you could see it in the episode. This is what I love about The Chosen, because it just, you know, shows the human dynamic of it. But there was a period of time, probably like a week, where she was just being really weird, and he could tell that she was mad at him, but he didn't know why. He didn't know that she was even pregnant. And she was mad because she lost the baby. She's dealing with her own emotions. And Peter didn't even know that she was pregnant. He knew that she was mad at him, but she never communicated it. And then all of a sudden one day, she breaks down and starts crying. And then Peter's mad because he's like, you didn't even tell me that you were pregnant and you've been mad at me. And, you know, they're all dealing with their own emotions. And I'm just like, wow, this is like so much what you're talking about with resentment. But really, what would have solved that? Communication. Yes. But she wasn't even communicating why she was mad or upset or anything else. And then what's crazy is Peter gets mad at Jesus and doesn't communicate to Jesus that he's mad at him. It's just crazy, because like resentment comes from lack of communication. And so I think number one, just kind of circling back to what you said, is like being responsible for our own work individually and working through that. Because I, you know, if you see relationships that are on the rocks or a marriage that's on the rocks, it's usually because they start going different directions and they're not working on themselves. They're not becoming a better version of themselves. And then therefore you can't work together on it. But I think one of the things that I took away from what you said too, that's super powerful, is communicating. Because just in the case of Peter's wife, like, he knew she was mad at him, but had no idea why. And then it goes into all these things that, well, you did this and I knew you were mad at me for that. And she's like, well, you took a nap when you first got home. And he's like, you told me to. That's like just purely communication. And that's usually where we get to these, like, ultimately on a small scale, like battles that we have on a consistent basis, but then ultimately end up getting a divorce.
Yeah. I mean, as you're even talking about that, I think every couple that's listening to this right now can relate to that story some way, somehow, maybe not that extreme, but there's been times in our life where I'm irritated with you, but if I don't tell you what's going on, and it might not even be anything. I think that this is a thing with women, is really saying what we want and why we want it. Like, we expect men to just like know what our needs are, what we want. You know, we were having a call in Rain a couple of months, or like last month, and we were talking about marriage. And one of the girls said on there, she's probably listening right now, I won't say her name, but she said, I just finally told my husband, she'd been married to her husband, I'm probably gonna get this wrong, like 15 years. She's like, I finally told my husband I don't want roses for Valentine's Day. How would he know that unless she told her? Like, he's just doing what everybody else is doing, is giving her roses on Valentine's Day. And it seems so silly for us to ask for what we actually want. And that's kind of a silly thing. But when we start having situations like losing a baby, or one of us is working more than the other one, right? Like, there's seasons where that's going to happen, and not communicating through those seasons, that's where it starts building. And when you let that resentment, if you don't address it right then or shortly after, then something else happens. And that's why resentment begins building. And then it just drives like a wedge between you. And I, when you said, a lot of times if you're not working on yourself and you start going down different paths, sometimes one of us is working on ourselves, but we're only working on ourselves. We're not including them in that. And if you're working on yourself and not including them in that journey, then you're going to just be, it becomes almost like a selfish working on yourself rather than, and kind of excluding them like, oh, well, they don't want to be a part of this. And so I think even in that case, like when you're working on yourself and bettering yourself, you have to consider where they're at in, on that journey as well and invite them into there.
Yeah. I love you. You said, invite them into there. And I was thinking, as you're saying that, you can't change the other person. Like you can't do something for them either. And, you know, that's one thing that I've seen, you know, probably as a success in our relationship is like, I'm not trying to, so many times as humans, and I think this is just human nature, whenever we believe or get excited about something, like we think that everybody else has to think the same way. And it gets even probably more challenging in a marriage because you want the best for the other person. But until they actually want it, they can't go through that. Like, I mean, from a health perspective, like you gotta, like counting macros and working out and all of that. Now I'm more healthy than you are and more fit, but no, I'm just kidding. totally joking. But you know, it's a journey and you never, like you never push that on me because I have to like understand it myself. And so I think that's the other side of that coin where, you know, yeah, it's obviously communication is important. And I love what you said about the roses, just kind of circling back to that, because you made a comment, you said, it seems like a silly thing, but in reality, if we can't communicate the things that we want on a small level and learn to do that, then we won't communicate the things that we want on a big level. And so I don't think it's silly at all. I think if you learn to ask for the little things, then you'll be more comfortable asking for the large thing. So I think that's super important, but definitely not trying to change the other person. So do you have anything on that?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, when you're talking about, it really is important that we communicate those small things, because if we don't, then that's why you end up being married to somebody for 20 years and they say, hey, I don't like this. And you're like, why haven't you told me that we've been married for 20 years? I've been buying you roses for 20 years and you've never told me that. And that's where you hear people say, I don't even know who I'm living with. I don't know who you are. And it's just because you weren't saying the small things as they were happening, letting them know. Our family has this thing that I love. It's in our notes and we share it with each other, things that we want. So you throw anything in there that you want, it could be large or small, but then you're not getting each other gifts that are silly. And that's kind of, I mean, that's not really a marriage thing, but it's asking for what you want. And then you're not having to guess what I want for my birthday or an anniversary. You can pop in there and say, hey, I know she wants this. And you know, you're not going to go wrong with that. You know, I think just communicating what we want and asking for what we want is huge.
Yeah. In the beginning, this kind of went a different direction, which is a good thing, I think, but like, just even the idea that, you know, people don't want to get married today. And we were talking about, you know, just modeling and seeing. We were literally at dinner with a couple a while back and one of them, and I hear this over and over and over, one of them was saying that, you know, their parents are still married and they love each other, but there's no, like, they didn't even say intimacy. They're like, there's no affection. There's no, I forgot how they said it, but basically that what you said is exactly the truth. And I think a lot of times people think that, you know, I mean, even getting a divorce, I'm not an advocate of divorce, but the reality is, if you're going to spend the rest of your life together miserably, get a divorce. But I love what you said about, you know, 20 years later, you say, I don't love roses. Well, why didn't you tell me? And I like the way that you brought it back to that, because the way that when somebody says, you know, my parents love each other and they're still married, but I just don't really see any affection or any joy in their marriage, I think you just nailed it on the head. It's because they haven't been communicating for years. So I think that's so important. One of the things that, and maybe this is the most important thing, I'm like writing some of this down and numbering it, but I think, you know, not quitting, and this is not a marriage trait specifically, but I think the problem that we have in our world is lack of commitment. And I think, you know, maybe this is one of the reasons, again, why people don't want to get married, because they're like, well, I've never seen a perfect marriage and blah, and there isn't a perfect marriage. But
yeah.
Also, like, I think there's this, it's interesting because one of the co-hosts on the King's Table is Ashish Nathu, and him and Sejal were in our couples mastermind. And one of the episodes of the King's Table, we were talking about kind of the same thing. And Ash threw out this idea of prearranged marriages. And in their culture, they come from India. Prearranged marriages is still a thing. In fact, even in the US, it's a thing. And it was interesting listening to Ash's take on this, because I'd never really thought about prearranged marriages. And I thought it was interesting. But Ash and Sejal have one of the, you know, greatest, they're one of the greatest couples I've ever met. And Ash made this comment. He said, well, you know, in our culture, you get married and your parents are probably the best person to pick the right person for you. And it's just so weird to me. But then the more I listen to him talk, he's like, you know, you just learn to love each other and you grow to love each other even more. And I thought back to normal marriage, because when we get married, it starts with like this, you know, excitement and infatuation. And when you're dating, you're just like super excited. And then typically in a marriage, it's like, it gets more and more boring. Well, the problem is like a commitment. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not just a marriage thing. The reason why, you know, most people aren't successful in business or anything else is because when things get hard, they stop communicating. They put their head in the sand. I'm working with a coaching client right now that was just ready to like throw everything in. And I'm like, it doesn't really sound like you're even anywhere near that. Like, what does it look like to just come down a little bit and fix it? But sometimes people are like all or nothing. Well, it's either needs to be perfect or we're just done. And I think that's the problem with marriage, is we don't go into it with the idea that, hey, I'm going to marry this person and I'm going to stay married to them forever. And so what does that mean? I'm going to communicate. I'm going to stay in love. I'm going to continue to chase after them. I'm going to continue to, you know, work through my own garbage and let them work through theirs and then work through ours together.
Yeah, I think commitment is really lacking in most marriages. I think about like us. I was actually thinking, because I have been thinking about this question the past couple of days, of like, what is it? Like, what makes a marriage? Why do you stay together? And I think commitment is a huge one, because that's never really been a question. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen. I think it can happen to anyone, that somebody can get divorced. But to me, I've been, the moment we got married, I was like, I'm going to grow old with you. And have there been times where it has been hard? Yes. Have there been times where it's maybe a little mediocre or boring? Yes. And I think that that's kind of the beauty of marriage, is if people could settle into marriage, shouldn't be chaotic. Like, I think, you know, when you're first together, you're talking about like that infatuation piece, but there's something really beautiful about settling into somebody and it being okay that it doesn't have to be these really, really high highs and these really low lows. I'm not saying you should have a boring marriage. I don't think we have a boring marriage, but I think people get it in their heads that it has to be just this like crazy high. You know, I know couples who they're either really on or they're really off and they are almost divorcing. And then it's like, they have this makeup time and it's a cycle that they go through because they're craving that rush of a high of like, it almost fell apart and then we're coming back. And I think coming back to that commitment, it's just steady. It's a steady love. It's a safe space. So creating a home, even within your marriage, if you're listening to this, like, how can we create a safe space for our marriage that we can grow old together, where maybe it gets to be a little bit like low key? There's something really beautiful about that to me, knowing that I get to grow old with you and I can feel safe to just be.
Yeah. On, you know, kind of piggybacking on that too, I think I've been talking about this a lot lately, but there's a saying where when you're constantly looking at the past, so if you're depressed, it's because you're thinking about the past. And if you have anxiety, you're spending too much time thinking about the future. And as you were even saying that, I think another important thing is like recognizing what season you're in. And there's two parts to this, really. We are meant to grow. And the person that I married, you know, 25 years ago is a different person than she is today. And she should be.
Yes.
And just thinking back to like depression and looking backwards, I think so many times, and this might even be an anchor point, like, well, you used to do this and things used to be this way. Well, things are going to change. And I think that circles back to the importance of communication, and maybe connection could be another one. But I think that's why that's all so important, is because there's a couple of thoughts that I have on this, but we are going to change, number one, and I can't expect you to be who you were 20 years ago, but also recognizing the season, because when you're, you know, having little kids, and there's people that have kids when they're 35 and they're like, man, we had so much fun and we used to do this and we used to do that. And now that we have kids, we can't do that anymore. We were opposite because we had kids early and just didn't know any better. And now
we're following Shalene and Brett Johnson's footsteps. Okay. They're our role models.
Totally. 100%. But I think just recognizing the season that you're in too. And again, I think communication might be the most, after the commitment, number one, and then communication is probably number two, because the seasons are going to change. And if you're not communicating needs, and I have one little tangent on this too. I think a lot of times when we have something that we need in our life that isn't being fulfilled, and we're only able to look to our spouse for that. By the way, I'm not talking about sex or, you know, other relationships or anything like that. I'm just talking about, like, you know, if we're not spending enough time with friends, or we're not taking a, you know, a girl's trip, or whatever it is that we need fulfillment in our life, and you look to, you know, your spouse to fulfill every component of your life, it's not going to work.
Mm-mm. So when you think about the seasons and communicating about them, I mean, you could even have two different seasons having little kids, right? Depending on what's happening in your career, what's happening in your home, depending on stuff happening even in your friend circle or your family, like there could be a death in the family that changes the dynamics. When you're thinking about all of the seasons, I think it's so good. Like, I love that you said commitment, communication, and then the connection. I heard that word, connection, and keeping connected, like on a weekly, monthly basis of like what's going on. Like right now we are in a very busy season, and you in particular are having to put in a lot of hours, right? So if you don't communicate that to me, if I don't know, hey, he's going to have long days and I'm just sitting at home. And in fact, we have a couple of our kids living at our house today. And last night I said, it's a good thing you guys are living with me, or I might be lonely at dinner eating by myself right now. But if we're not communicating that, and we're not, because then I can expect it. If you didn't communicate with me, hey, this is a season I'm in right now, I have to put my head down and I got to put in more hours than I typically do, then I would be sitting at home being like, what's going on? Is something going on? Our kids just left. Is he okay? I would be questioning these things in my mind. So I think that it's so important that we're communicating in those seasons of what we need. And then maybe you're in a season where you want to have more play, and you can, and you're not having to put time in. And so communicating about that, what does that look like? What do we want this season to look like? If we're going to have a season of more play and fun, what does that look like? What sounds fun to you? What sounds fun to me? Like communicating that piece when you're going through those seasons.
That's really interesting. And just, I guess, a little freebie. I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of years, but even when you're in a busy season, it's the same thing with your kids. Communicating, because I think, you know, sometimes with parents that have small kids, it's like there's this guilt, right? Like the parent guilt. And the reality is the kids are like resilient. And I don't even remember where this idea came from or who said it or whatever, but somebody mentioned, and again, I think this was a couple of years ago, but, you know, just communicate, hey, daddy's going to be in a bigger or a busier season than normal. I might not be around for a couple of nights because I have to stay late at the office. What's the kid going to say? Okay, dad, that's fine. But when you don't communicate that, then they're like, man, I haven't seen daddy for a while. And it's so important at the end of the day. And that's probably just like, I mean, a lot of this could really apply to just human relationships, period. But mm-hmm. I mean, the most important human relationship that you possibly have is this, you know, the one you have with your spouse. So I think, you know, really that's what we're talking about today and why it's so important. But I think this applies anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to add one more C into there. You might have more on your list because I can't see your list. We're in different spaces today. With the C's, curious, like staying curious. I think that's something we really lose after the dating and early marriage season. We lose like you said, I'm not the same person. You're not the same person that we married 25 years ago, which is crazy. Not the same person. So what would make us think that we would need to stop being curious? Like, I need to continue to be curious about this other human that I'm spending my life with. We don't even know ourselves most of the time, right? Like, we're finding out new things about ourselves in our 40s and 50s and 60s. I'm sure it continues on the rest of our life. So what would make us think that we just know this person after being married for a year or two or three or five, 10, right? We have to continually be curious and be digging into what, because our desires change depending on what's happening in our life, right? Like, we need different things for different seasons. And so staying curious about the person you're doing life with so that you can, because I think, you know, I just want to like touch on this a little bit. When we're first married, we're like, how can I please this person? How can I make their lives better? We're thinking of all of these ways we can make their lives better, how we can add joy to their lives. And then as time goes on, it's almost like you get this, like, they can do that themselves, or like, why is it my responsibility? And I feel like I hear people talking about this, like, that's not my responsibility, but it should be our responsibility. It should be my responsibility to see what you're, be curious about what you're interested in and want to take care of you still and want to please you still.
Yeah. So I think you should want to please me.
He's like, yes, please.
Yes. More of that. Women, listen. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, and I do think, you know, that could be a little bit of the resistance in people being married, because I think back in the day, I mean, even your parents, the way that the Mexican culture is, like, your grandma would, when we lived with your parents for like a month when we were moving at one point, and I remember your grandma, she'd make dinner every day. And everybody would just be like sitting around, and everybody would sit around until you heard your dad's truck pulling up. And as soon as his truck pulled up, she ran to the kitchen, warmed it all up, and then it was time to eat. And it could be at 4:30 or it could be at 6:30. It all revolved around him. And so I think that there's this negative aspect of like that piece of it. And I don't think it has to be like that, but I do think that that could be a little bit of the resistance that we have at being married, is there's this pattern that we've seen in the past that we don't want any part of it. So we almost swing way over to the other side and do the opposite, when I think it's really in the middle, and like you pleasing me and me pleasing you, it's a mutual street. Like, I'm not here to just serve you. You're also here to serve me, because that's really what marriage is serving each other and being partners, right? Like bearing each other's burdens.
Yeah. Well, this took a turn that I wasn't expecting, but you know, as I'm kind of thinking through this, like we were talking about how the marriage rate is going down and young people, and but really the kind of thing that I'm kind of taking away from this and summing up is, you know, it's really easy to focus on, you know, marriage is a problem, or business is a problem, or capitalism is a problem, or whatever it is. And in reality, like, and again, I said this earlier, like, I think these things could apply to anything, but I think most people, their idea of what success looks like in a certain area is skewed. And I think a lot of times people just throw in the towel because they're like, well, this is what I saw. This is what I was modeled. You know, my parents had a business and it didn't work, or my parents tried to move, and whatever it is, like, it's these limiting beliefs. When in reality, if you look at anybody that's successful, whether it's a successful marriage, a successful parent, a successful business owner, a successful investor, it's like just coming back to breaking those molds. And I mean, I reordered these, by the way, but you know, taking responsibility, I think that's the key. If you want something different, again, whether it's marriage, parenting, business, or anything else, it's like, don't quit, communicate, take responsibility. Like, this stuff applies to anything.
Yeah. If you are a couple and you like these kind of conversations, we are actually doing a couple's trip to Cabo in May, and we only have actually, we only have 5 spots left now. So there's only a couple of spots. We like to keep these trips really intimate, and we kind of changed things up this year. We're not doing our masterminds anymore, but we do want to continue to go on trips with other couples and expand who we are as individuals, expand with other couples, have some time to connect with our partner in life, and then also play. I think that's an area that we forget to have a lot of times when we get married. And then when you're doing it with other couples, it just expands you so much and opens up the conversation in a new way. So if you're interested in that, you can text the word couples to 480-605-4814. And we will shoot you over the information to join us.
Or you can DM the word marriage on Instagram if you find us there.
Yes, you can. Which we hang out there a lot. So that's a great place to connect with either of us.
Well, this has been super fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of these couples on this epic trip.
Me too. This was fun.
If you've found value in this episode and you know someone who's wanting to start or move further along in their journey toward investing for freedom, I would be forever grateful if you would share this show with them and help me get this message out to more listeners. Also, if you enjoy what you've heard, I would appreciate it if you take 30 seconds and leave me a 5-star review and share this with your friends. And until the next episode, cheers to moving further along in your journey of investing for freedom.